Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, Georgia's gas tax has been suspended. Authorities have identified the suspect and the victim in Tuesday's shooting at a VA clinic in Pickens County. And some Atlanta restaurants and churches have taken it upon themselves to provide free meals to TSA agents.
The fact they're showing up and keeping our economy moving, we want to recognize that and make sure that they know that we appreciate it and that we're helping them.
Today is Friday, March 20th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Georgia drivers soon will get a break when it comes to the price of gas, which now averages nearly $3.80 a gallon. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Governor Brian Kemp has signed a 60-day suspension of the state gas tax to counteract high fuel prices influenced by the war in Iran. That will save consumers about 33 cents per gallon on gasoline and 37 on diesel. Kemp says,
"Today is just the latest step we're taking, and it's one that will help all Georgians as they work to make ends meet."
The suspension goes into effect immediately, but will take a few days to be reflected at the pump. Kemp also signed a state income tax rebate, giving $250 back to single filers and $500 to those filing jointly. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis at the state capitol.
Meanwhile, higher energy costs aren't just concerning drivers and transportation-related industries. Georgia Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Chris Clark spoke to GPB's lawmakers about the war-related energy costs. He said manufacturing also could be affected.
Most of our companies in Georgia use natural gas in their production processes. So there's a ripple effect here that on top of tariffs and on top of, you know, this affordability issue that we're having is really going to squeeze what I worry about some of Georgia's small businesses.
Clark said those rising costs eventually could translate into higher prices for consumers. Authorities have identified the suspect and the victim in Tuesday's shooting at a Veterans Affairs clinic in North Georgia's Pickens County. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation also said yesterday that the man who was shot, 34-year-old Nicholas Cruz of Marietta, died from his injuries. Cruz was employed as a social work case manager at the clinic. The suspect was shot and killed at the scene after exchanging gunfire with police officers and an armed civilian. He was identified as 51-year-old Lawrence Michaels of Jasper. Michaels was at the clinic for a walk-in mental health consultation. The GBI said they were investigating the shooting and performing an autopsy. As transportation security and other federal workers struggle to pay bills during a partial government shutdown, many are stepping in to help. Some Atlanta-area restaurants and churches have been providing free meals to TSA agents at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport. In Savannah, Customs and Border Protection employees at the busy port, along with other affected workers, can apply for gift cards through the local United Way. Burt Brantley is president and CEO of the Savannah Area Chamber of Commerce, one of the groups behind the effort.
The fact they're showing up and keeping our economy moving, we want to recognize that and make sure that they know that we appreciate it and that we're helping them.
Affected federal employees have worked without pay since February 14th. Federal investigators at the U.S. Chemical Safety Board say they expect to wrap up their investigation into the 2024 biolab fire in Conyers in the coming months. Speaking at their quarterly public meeting, Chemical Safety Board Chair Steve Owen said the investigation is still ongoing. The fire broke out in September 2024, sending a plume of chemical smoke over surrounding communities, prompting evacuations and shelter-in-place orders. The CSB is an independent federal agency that investigates major industrial chemical accidents and makes safety recommendations. Congress recently moved to preserve the agency's funding after the White House proposed eliminating it. If you'd like to hear GPB's in-depth coverage of the 2024 biolab fire and its aftermath, that story is the subject of our podcast, Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. You can find it at gpb.org/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. A new study from the University of Georgia looks at where coyotes are having their pups, including major cities like Atlanta. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
In Georgia, coyotes begin giving birth around the middle of March. And according to a study by UGA PhD candidate Summer Fink, coyotes near urban centers often shelter in unconventional places. They're looking for a den that will provide shelter, like burrowing under concrete or living in a pile of cinder blocks. Fink found her favorite example deep in the woods around Atlanta.
So there was just kind of a boat, not near water at all. And so they just kind of went through the bow of the boat and then kind of tucked the puppies in the back corner.
She says that while people might be afraid of coyotes in their neighborhoods, they play a crucial role as the largest predator in urban ecosystems. And generally, if you keep your dog on a leash and steer clear of their dens, they shouldn't bother you. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
For more than six decades, Dionne Warwick's voice has helped shape the soundtrack of American music, with classics like I Say a Little Prayer, That's What Friends Are For, and Walk On By. The six-time Grammy winner is in Atlanta tonight for a special concert with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. GPB's Pamela Kirkland spoke with her about the performance and a new release she says will be her last. Walk on by.
You've performed in Atlanta many times over the years. What do you think about the city and the audiences here? What comes to mind for you?
Well, like everybody says, Atlanta. Atlanta's always been wonderful to me. People always shown up. They seem to have enjoyed every performance I've done there thus far. And hopefully it'll be the same with this particular performance.
She's performed with orchestras for years and says that fuller sound is nothing new.
That's the way I record, actually, with a full orchestra. I have performed with many symphony orchestras over the years. They'll just get the full version of what the songs that they listen to on their recording.
Friday's performance also lines up with something new, a single called Ocean in the Desert featuring Cynthia Erivo.
I met Cynthia actually when she was doing Color Purple in New York for the first time. And then I've seen her on different occasions. And of course, when she slayed me with Alfie at the Kennedy Honors.
That admiration turned into collaboration.
I requested her to be a part of my project, and she absolutely, yes, immediately, with no question as to what I was going to sing, what she was going to sing, etc. It was an absolute joy to be able to sing with her.
I will come in with a cool wind.
The song is part of her upcoming album, Duets. That's DW Duets, a project she built entirely with songwriter Diane Warren.
She writes, I believe, from her heart, not her head, and has a way with words that no one else seems to have. I felt that same way about Hal David. I never referred to him as a lyricist. I always referred to him as a poet. And with Diane, it feels almost very much the same.
You've said that this is going to be your final album. So after 65 years of making music, what made this feel like the right moment to close that chapter?
I'm feeling like it's now about time to slow down and kind of pay a little bit of attention to Dionne for a minute.
A legendary career that spanned 65 years and some of the most recognizable songs in American pop music.
It's been a long one for one thing. It's been an enjoyable one, one that I've had the pleasure of singing some of the greatest songs I feel that were ever written by two composers, Bacharach and David, and then to be able to work with other composer producers, the Bee Gees, Liz Vandross, and the list goes on and on. It's been an absolute joy.
No regrets.
None whatsoever.
Even now, she says what keeps her going is simple, the audience.
The joy comes from seeing the smiles on people's faces or an arm go around a shoulder or a hand reach for another hand in the audience to hold. And then, of course, the participation. They don't mind opening up their mouths and singing those songs with me, which is a joy as well.
And in Atlanta, she says audiences can expect a performance only she can deliver.
Well, it's not a sneak peek. It's Dion. That's who they're going to get. That's simple.
The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for
Dionne Warwick, thank you so much for speaking with me.
My pleasure, darling. You take good care.
Dionne Warwick performs with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra tonight at Atlanta Symphony Hall. This is GPB.
DeKalb County Schools announced their latest proposal to close or repurpose 27 schools in the district. Dubbed the Student Assignment Project, it's an effort to balance shrinking school enrollment as the population of school-aged children declines. DeKalb's interim superintendent, Norman C. Sauce, spoke about the timeline for closures.
It's also certainly anticipated that whatever plans the board may approve would be in phases, but the soonest that you likely would see any changes would be the 27-28 school year, with the soonest recommendations being made would be the late fall of this year.
The plan also identified 11 capital improvement projects. They focus on expanding school capacity, updating buildings, and student programs, especially in South DeKalb. The Atlanta Braves open the 2026 season 1 week from today, and we now know who's getting the nod to throw the first pitch of Atlanta's season. Veteran lefty Chris Sale will get the opening day start against the Kansas City Royals on March 27th. It'll be Sale's 7th career opening day start and 2nd as a member of the Braves. Former Braves pitcher Max Fried also will get an opening day start for the Yankees as New York faces off against San Francisco. Macon's International Cherry Blossom Festival kicks off today, bringing 10 days of celebrations, increased tourism, and pink-filled business opportunities. Events include the Cherry Blossom Ball today and the Pink Pancake Breakfast tomorrow. That is not the only Cherry Blossom Festival in the state. Conyers will host its very own Cherry Blossom Festival this weekend. Dublin's month-long St. Patrick's celebration continues with the St. Patrick's Balloon Fest and Glow. Fitzgerald has the Wild Chicken Festival, Douglas has the Wings and Things Festival and Fly-In, Jefferson has the Foliage Festival, and Madison, Georgia is hosting its Sweet Tooth Festival. That event will consist of a cake bake-off, cake sampling, tons of sweets, food, arts and crafts, games, live music, giveaways, and more. And that's a wrap on Georgia Today. Should be a beautiful weekend throughout the state. Hope you enjoy it. If you want to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, take a moment and do it now. It'll keep us current in your podcast feed. And we're always open to hearing your feedback. The best way to get it to us is by email. And the address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.